are going to observe the Lord's Supper in a moment. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 5. Last time we were thinking about the hope that we find in Christ. And I want us to develop that a little bit more this morning. And so we're not going to get far in our text, but that's okay, because there's powerful stuff here. And so, chapter 5, and let's begin reading in verse 1, just so that we get the thought, the flow of what Paul is writing for us here. And if you've caught your breath, you're able to stand, please do. And if not, we understand. That's the Lord knows. But we want to honor Him, honor His Word as we read it. So, we'll stand for this portion of it anyway. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your love poured into our hearts. Lord, we pray that even today, that every person in this room would experience Your presence, Your mighty touch, God. Meet with us, speak to us, move within us, we pray. And Lord, I pray that for those who know You, I pray that it will be a fresh time of worship and learning and growing. And Father, I pray that You would just rekindle that fire in our heart, God, for You. But if there's even one today, Lord, who doesn't have a relationship with You, I pray, Lord, that You will speak to their heart. I pray You'll move heaven and earth, God, to touch them and draw them to Yourself. And I pray that You, Lord, will help them to realize their need for You, and that You love them so much, and that You want to save them. And I pray that You will. Now, Father, bless this time and use it, we ask. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We've been given in this passage the fact that we have peace with God. We have standing with God. We stand in this grace, and that we have hope. And now we're introduced today to this fact that this hope, it builds into something powerful in our lives. We have the love of God being poured into us. And it is amazing. It's powerful. It's wonderful. Well, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 39:7, he said, "And now, Lord, what wait I for?" What am I waiting for? He said, "My hope is in Thee." My hope is in You, Lord. What are we waiting for? You know, some of us are waiting for something. You know, we're waiting on something. Well, I want to tell you, no matter what you're waiting on, our hope is in Christ. It's in the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you that. Now, the Bible tells us here that Paul says God gives us hope. All right, He grants to us hope. And it is the hope of the glory of God in verse 2 there at the end. So He grants us hope. He gives us hope. But then also it tells us that He builds hope. He produces hope within us. And the process that He uses to do that with is through tribulations. Pastor, couldn't we talk about something else for a while? Well, it helps us though to know that through the hard things we face, through the difficult times, through the trials, God is at work. It's not meaningless. It's not purposeless. It has meaning. It has purpose. There's a reason for it. And we don't understand it sometimes. We can't see it. We don't know why. Why is this happening? Well, we don't know except that the Bible tells us here that we glory in tribulations because we know that that tribulations work patience or endurance. When we have affliction, when we have suffering, when we go through hard things, it builds endurance within us. It strengthens us. That's why you see these runners, these athletes, and sometimes you'll see them and they're running with a parachute behind them. Why? It's to build strength. It's to build up their body. It's to build up their muscles so that when they're released from that parachute, man, they're going to fly down that track. They're going to fly over that course. Well, God is doing some things in us, and these tribulations are at work in us. And so He says this is going to work to produce endurance or patience. And this patience produces experience, which is the fact that God is building proven character in us. He's building something in us. And God wants to use us. But folks, God cannot use people who are of small character. God cannot use us if we're struggling with the most basic things of living a life of integrity, of truthfulness, of honesty, of honoring Him in the way we live. You know, God is building character in us so that when He has a job, He knows He can call on us and He can trust us with something. So don't be discouraged when you go through hard things. Look for God in those things. Look for what God is doing. God's at work there. So don't miss that. Don't just feel like, well, the devil's kicking me around. The devil might be kicking you. Sometimes we're getting kicked around because it's our own fault. It's because stuff we've done. And that's really no praise and glory to God if we're just suffering because of stuff we've done. Peter talked about that. But if we're suffering for doing what's right, now you're getting somewhere. If you're suffering something because of something good, something right that you're doing, well, God is pleased. Well, so He tells us here that this experience, this process of building character in us produces hope. And man, this is powerful. And I want to suggest to you that we need it. And notice verse 5. He says, "And hope maketh not ashamed." That is, hope does not let us down. I mean, you probably, anybody ever been let down before? You've been disappointed? Well, hope, this hope, okay? And when I use that word hope there, it's not this vague, wishful thinking, this, you know, uncertain longing that I have for something. No, it is a confident expectation in God. All right? It's confidence in Him. So, Psalm 119 in verse 116 gives us this thought. He says, "Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope." My hope. Well, I want to tell you, if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, you'll never have to be ashamed of your hope. You'll never have to apologize for hoping in Christ. I mean, I've never known anybody who genuinely met Jesus and got saved, were born again, changed, and then just said, "Oh, I'm so disappointed in Jesus. I'm so upset with Jesus. Jesus has just let me down." I've never known anybody who said anything like that. And folks, we may get disappointed in others. You might get disappointed in your pastor. You might get disappointed in you know, some of your family or friends or your co-workers or your boss or your whoever. But folks, Jesus Christ will never let you down. This hope that we have, it's strong. Now, Romans chapter 9, verse 33 gives us this thought. Romans chapter 9, verse 33 says, "As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." When you put your faith in Jesus, you don't have to be ashamed. You know, there's a lot of folks today that will look at you funny if you believe in Jesus. Now, you can believe in Wicca, or you can believe in the devil, or you can believe in nothing. You can believe in, the man in the moon, and they won't look at you funny. "Oh, that's so good. I'm glad you found something that works for you." But if you start talking about Jesus, they get all indignant and irate and upset. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. There is no man in the moon. So why would anybody be upset about that? Well, no, they wouldn't. There's nothing there. It's a figment of somebody's imagination. But Jesus is not a figment of anybody's imagination. Jesus is alive. He's powerful. He's real. His name has power. That's why people like to curse with it. They like to drag it through the muck and the mire of this world. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. They don't curse in the name of Muhammad. They don't curse in the name of Buddha. Because there's no power in there. There's nothing there. Well, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And when He says a lively hope, it's not just, it doesn't mean it's just lively. It means it's living. It's alive. If you have Christ in your heart, you have a hope. You have this confident expectation, this reality of who Jesus is, and it's alive. Why? Because He's alive. And your hope is not just something that we've come up with. It's based on the very resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6 for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 6. And just notice, the Bible is speaking here of how men will swear an oath by someone that is greater than themselves. But God is greatest of all. There's no one greater. Who does He swear by? Well, notice verse 17. Hebrews 6 and verse 17. "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise," that's us, "the immutability of His counsel," that is, the unchanging nature of His counsel, "confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable or unchanging things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus." Well, folks, what kind of hope do we have? What kind of hope is it? It's an anchor for our souls. It will not let you down. You will not be disappointed by this. And so Paul writes, "And hope maketh not ashamed." You will never have to apologize. Well, kids, I'm sorry. God's just let us down this time. No. Now, there'll be times when God won't work on our calendar or our schedule or our itinerary. He won't do it the way we think it ought to be done. But hope maketh not ashamed. Hope will never cause you to be ashamed or embarrassed or let down. Hope does not let us down. But here's what hope does do. Hope sets us apart. Hope sets us apart. Let me give you two verses. First one is in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. Ephesians 2 and verse 12 says this. It says that at that time, ye were without Christ. That's before you knew Christ. He says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. No hope and without God in the world. You see, what separates us from unbelievers? I mean, we still mess up. We're not perfect. We still fail. We still struggle. We still sin at times. We don't want to. We know now that that's not what we want. And Christ has given us power to be different, to change. But what sets us apart? What sets us apart is that now we have hope. But someone without Christ, well, they got that bottle of Budweiser in their hand. They got that joint they're smoking. They got that moment of pleasure. They've got their bank account. They've got their job, their career. They've got their family. But that all ends at the grave. That all comes to a dead, screeching stop. Every bit of it. Brother Jim told me the other day he wanted to get a U-Haul trailer to put on the back of his hearse when he goes. Just to cause people to talk. Imagine that from Jim. But you don't see any U-Haul trailers hooked to the back of hearses because nobody takes it with them. I mean, you could bury all their stuff with them and, you know, wouldn't do them any good. Well, hope sets us apart. One more verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. And Paul is writing here about the return of Christ for the church. And he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that is, those who have died, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." Well, folks, we have hope and it sets us apart. But then also notice in this that hope lives inside of us. It lives inside of us. Because this verse Romans 5:5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And so we have been given this living hope that resides within us, and it's there by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, our hope is based on God's love. You know, Paul says to us here, he says that the love of God is shed abroad. That does not mean our love for God. That means God's love for us. And His love is being shed abroad. Now, I kind of like the way that puts it. Because doesn't it say somewhere, "For God so loved the world"? I mean, God loves everybody. God loves each one, each person. Or God doesn't love everybody. Can't have it both ways. Now, some folks want to change that. They want to say, "Well, no, God doesn't love those who are not saved, those who are not the elect." Well, folks, that's not the way the Bible reads. Back up a little bit. Just go back to the Scripture. Just read the Scripture. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Well, he says here that it is poured into our hearts and it is by the Holy Ghost. It is by the Holy Spirit. Now, we'll look further at the ministry of the Holy Spirit when we get to Romans chapter 8. Because it's mentioned here and there in the other chapters. But in Romans chapter 8, it talks about the Holy Spirit about 20 times. So we'll deal with that more when we get to chapter 8, Lord willing. I hope to be able to do that. You know, now if the Lord returns before then, forget it. You know, we'll sit down with Paul and let him explain it all to us, okay? If need be. But All right, so God is at work. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 tells us. Romans 15, 13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." You see, folks, it is the work of the Holy Spirit of God, which is given unto us. Now, think about this for a moment, because what the Bible teaches us is that one of the things we'll see in Romans 8 is that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Not a Christian, not a believer. And if you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit. And I realize some would say, well, no, you got to get saved and then you get the Holy Spirit. You'll get the Holy Ghost later. Well, Paul says if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're none of his. So what happens when we get saved is the Spirit of God comes and he just takes up residence. Amen. Moves in with us. Amen. Have you ever moved in with somebody that you really didn't like? Oh my. Bless him, Lord. Well, look, you've ever been had a roommate you just didn't really care for. Please don't comment on this. But if you've ever had a roommate you just didn't care for, it can be rough. God comes and He takes up residence within us. He comes to live in us, to reside, to dwell, to indwell us. And folks, that in itself is an act of love. And we can talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I think what we really need to talk about is the gift of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the gift. And He comes to indwell us. And He is the source of hope. And I want to tell you, some of you need some hope. Some of you have struggled with this or that or the other, with work or school or relationships or finances or health or whatever things it is. And we all have some of that stuff. But when you have the hope of God residing in your heart, and it's not this temporary kind of thing that, well, I feel it today, but tomorrow, maybe not. Yesterday was bad. Well, you see, when you have the Holy Spirit of God, He is there and He is constant and He's powerful, He's mighty. And your life and your hope is not dependent on your feelings or your circumstances or what's happening around you. You have a hope that is based on the power of God who lives within you. And that's mighty. And so in that respect, you say, well, yeah, but boy, things have been kind of rough lately. Well, folks, that just helps you to know that the power of God is there and it's real. It's mighty. And He's with you. You say, well, I don't really feel like He's with me all those times. Have you gone to Him? Have you sought Him? Have you knelt on your knees and cried out to Him and say, oh Lord, I need You? Because I do not believe that when you call on His name and you cry out to Him and you pour out your heart to Him, I do not believe He will turn a deaf ear to His child that He loves. That He's poured His love into you. Why would He do that? When you hear your child crying, I mean, seriously, I mean, there's times that our kids cry and you're like, you'll be fine. Rub some dirt on it. Walk it off. Come on. You'll be all right. But no, there's times when you hear your kid and you're like, oh, something's going on. Well, I'll check on them tomorrow. No. I can pretty much tell you, the moms in the group are already like, I mean, their mom's antenna are already poked up right now. And they're already thinking about all those times. And it's like, you know, moms, it's like something is wrong somewhere in the universe with their children. It's like, oop, my kid's in trouble. You know, I mean, it's like they just know these things. I mean, you kids just despair because your mother knows. No, it's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. But folks, if parents do that, if we as parents, don't we want to give our children good gifts? Don't we want to bless them and help them and encourage them and love on them and show them how much we love them? We do. God wants to do that in our lives, and He does. I want to encourage you today. You may just feel a need for a little hope today. I want to tell you, you have a living hope if you're a child of God. If you're saved, you have a living hope that's real and is powerful. And it originates from the Spirit who indwells you, lives within you. And so, yeah, there'll be days, but oh, there's never a day that our Lord is not there. There's never a time when He doesn't have the answer. And He can calm your heart, soothe you, like we might a little child who just needs a hug or a touch or a pat. Maybe a firm pat sometimes. I mean, not Creed. I'm not saying that. But, amen. All right, so here's what we have. Also in Romans chapter 15, one more verse. Paul says this, "For whatsoever things..." This is Romans 15:4, if you're taking notes. He says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Say, "Well, Pastor, I just don't really feel very hopeful. I don't feel like I have hope." Well, have you been immersing your mind in the Word of God? Have you been pouring this book into your heart and your soul? Have you been taking in the Word of God? "Well, yeah, Pastor, I heard you preach last Sunday and the Sunday before that." No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, are you personally yourself picking up the Bible? Your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you come and see me or somebody here and we'll get you a Bible. And look, if you don't have a Bible, pick up one of those pew Bibles right there in the pew and take it home with you and keep it. If you'll read it, that's great. Amen. But oh, listen, how are we going to have hope? It's going to come through Scriptures. How? Because we're going to read the story of Daniel. And we're going to say, "Oh man, God protected Daniel in that hungry den of lions." We're going to read Joseph's story. And we're going to see, man, God was with Joseph, even though his brothers sold him as a slave. And then he was thrown into prison in Egypt for a crime he didn't commit. And he served years. Went through hard things, and yet God was faithful. And we read those stories and it helps us. Or we read David's story. Remember when David was in Ziklag? I don't remember, the Ammonites or the Amorites or one of those ites. While David was away and his men, they raided the town of Ziklag where David was living with his people. They were still hiding from Saul. He wasn't the king of Israel yet. And so he was there in a Philistine town. And these raiders came in and they took all their families. And they got David and his men came back. And he said they just sat down and cried. They just wept because their families were taken away, kidnapped. And the men were upset at David. But you remember what it says? It says, "But David comforted himself in the Lord." And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be moments in your life when everybody in your life is going to be looking daggers at you. Everybody in your life is going to be upset at you or hurt by you or whatever because of what you've done or haven't done or whatever. I want to just say to you, we need to turn in those moments to the Lord and say, oh God, You have everything I need. You are all. You're everything. God, would You just come and work in my family? Would You come and work in my finances? Lord, would You come and would You work and meet the needs of my heart? But cry out to Him. Find comfort in Him. I mean, we can sing about it. We can talk about it. We can have prayers and do all this stuff in church. But I don't have a picture. I mean, Brother Garland had a pitcher of gravy this morning on men's breakfast, and man, we were just pouring it everywhere. But I don't have a pitcher of God's hope that I can just come and I can just open. I'm not touching your hair. I could just come and open up your head and just pour that right in there and then go on. You know, and just go right down the road and just give each one of you some hope. I don't have it. I can't do it. But God does. God has it. Nobody can do it for you. You say, well, I'm a young person. That's the time to learn to seek the Lord. That's the time to learn to walk with God. Have a relationship with Him. Not just pray a prayer one time about being saved. It's time to learn to seek the Lord. To draw near to Him. Because He'll change your life. Let's bow our heads. If this morning you don't have hope in your heart, you've never been saved, I want to invite you to turn to Jesus. Trust Him as your Savior. Put your faith in Christ. It's very simple to do. You can just tell Him in a simple prayer. Say, oh God. I mean, just tell Him right now, right there where you are in your heart. Say, oh God, I need You. Lord, I know I'm lost. I know I'm a sinner. And I need Your salvation. Father, please save me. Forgive me of all my sin. And change me. Just tell Him. From your heart, just cry out to Him. Tell Him. And He will hear you. He will answer you. Maybe you're here today. You would say, oh, Pastor, I know I'm a Christian, but yet there's times I don't feel like there's much hope. Well, it's not about our feelings. It really isn't. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And what we see can be so deceiving and it can be so wrong. I want to invite you right now to say to the Lord, oh God, I need You to give me that hope. To give me hope. In situations beyond my control, in things that I can't change, I can't fix, and I can't understand. God, would You come? Would You do a work in my heart? Maybe today God's dealing with your heart about some specific thing. Let's just take this moment. Let's give it to the Lord.